Peter. Now, if you know the New Testament a bit, you'll know Peter. Peter was the fisherman who Jesus called to follow him. When Jesus was arrested, it was Peter who said he didn't know Jesus at all. He said it three times before the cock crowed. But then after Jesus was raised from the dead, it was Peter who was the first one to teach the good news about Jesus. He preached to a large crowd, saying that Jesus is Lord, as we were saying earlier, but also Jesus is the one who saves anyone who turns to him. So that's Peter. And a few years later, Peter wrote a letter to Christians who lived in different places. And it was all about how to keep going. How do you keep going as a Christian? Because you see, Peter said that the Christian life is a bit like this picture, a picture of someone heading off on a long and hard journey. The Christian life is like a long journey to a wonderful destination. I don't know if you've ever been on a journey on holiday when you're heading there and the journey's really rotten. Maybe you just get sort of stuck in traffic and you're sitting there for hours and hours. It seems to drag on forever. It's awful. Or maybe you get stuck at an airport and you're just kind of waiting and it's really painful. But then when you arrive at your holiday and you see the sea and you see the beach or where you're staying, it's fantastic. Then it's all worth it. It's all absolutely worth it. Well, Peter says the Christian life is a bit like that. So at the moment, now, it can be hard. Now, it can be hard. Why? Because, well, we live in a world where not everybody believes in Jesus, not everybody follows him. And people don't understand why we do follow him. And they can make life hard for us. People can say things that are mean to us. So they can treat us badly or they can leave us out. That can sometimes what it's like if we follow Jesus. Now, it can be hard. But the future will be glorious. One day, when we're with God, we're with Jesus, it will be amazing. It will be glorious when we're with him in his new world. And so Peter wants us to keep going on that journey when it's hard. Now, children, last week, your parents and some of the older ones were here as we started to think about this. So as we think about how to keep going, we're going to start with some revision. I know that some of you are probably completely sick of revision at the moment, but this is a bit of revision of what we looked at last week. And I've got some clues to help you remember the things we looked at last week if you were here. So first clue is this. Okay, so is this. So take the cap off. Yeah, there you go. Right, so what are these? Someone tell me, what are these? Morning, anyone? Yes, what are they? Binoculars. Brilliant. Absolutely right. And so the first clue is this. So I'm looking far away. So what's the first thing you have to do if you're going to keep going? Can anyone remember from last week? Don't hold back. Just go for it. Okay. What's the first thing we have to do? Look ahead. Thank you very much, Craig Manning. You have to look ahead. You have to look far ahead into the distance. You have to keep your eyes fixed on your destination, on where you're going, on your glorious future. That's the first thing you have to do. Okay, the next thing I've got, my next clue is this. It is a spoon. It is a spoon. A teaspoon. Not just an ordinary teaspoon, though. It is a, what is it? It's a sugar spoon. Okay, so remember the sugar spoon. Now, do you remember the point of the sugar spoon? I really hope you do. What does this remind us that we have to do? Anyone? So where we belong. So the sugar spoon belongs in a different place from the other spoon. So what do we have to do? We have to be different. Thank you, Claudia. We have to be different. Like the sugar spoon is special roles, not used for anything else, and it's not kind of mixed up with other things. We are to be different. We belong to God. And so we're to be different because we belong to him. The Bible's word for that is holy. We are to be holy. And then the third thing, here's your third clue. You ready for this? A little bit earlier, we were roaring. I think we need a big roar for this. Okay, so after three. Okay, so one, two, three. There you are. A fearsome lion. So what does this remind us that we also have to do? Anyone remember? How do you respond to a lion? fear. That's right. And so who are we to fear? We're to fear God. That's right. Even though God is our Heavenly Father, even though he loves us, he is God and he is the judge of all, we are rightly to fear him as we live in this world. So well done, good revision, well remembered. Well, as Peter goes on, he's got two more things he wants to tell us about how we're going to keep going. Sorry, I didn't, those are the three things we've seen. So focus on the future, dare to be different, and fear your Heavenly Father. But two more things we're going to learn now. And so we're going to have our reading now, and Rose is going to bring that to us.
If you would like to turn to page 1218 in your pew Bibles, page 1218, perhaps you'd like to help somebody next to you if they're finding it difficult to find the place. And we're in 1 Peter, Peter's first letter, and beginning to read at verse 21. Here. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read at verse 21. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good.
Great, thank you, Rose. So Peter's going to tell us two more things we must keep in mind if we're going to keep going when it's hard in the Christian life. And the first one is this: you need to crave the Word of God. You need to crave the Word of God. We need the Word of God. We need the Bible, and desperately. That's what the word crave means. When you crave something, you don't think, oh, maybe I want it, maybe I don't. You think, no, I must have that thing. I must have that thing. I desperately need that thing. I can't keep going without it. Crave the Word of God. So we need the Bible. Now, it might be that you're thinking, oh, you know, here we go again. They're always saying this in church, aren't they? Here we go again. Read the Bible, read the Bible. Always being told to read the Bible. Why is it so important? Well, Peter's going to help us with that this morning. What is it that's so great about the Bible, about the Word of God? And the first thing you need to know is that the Word of God gave you life. It gave you life. Just see what Peter says. He says, for you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Now, I've got something here. Here is a baby doll. Okay, so I've got a baby here. This is the one that turned up. Thank you very much. And I don't need to tell you where babies come from, do I? We all know where babies come from. Babies come from mummy's tummies, don't they? We all know that. So a baby's in its mummy's tummy until the time when it is born. Okay, that's how babies come into the world. They are born. But do you know where Christians come from? Do you know where Christians come from? Well, Peter says they are born again. They are born again. not by going back into mummy's tummy and then coming out again, but they are born, how? Look at the verse. Through the living and enduring Word of God. It's through the Word of God. And did you know, if you're a Christian, that has happened to you? You have been born again. That's what happened. And it happened through the Word of God. That's how you were born again. What happened was, one day, you heard the message about Jesus. One day, that message that was taught to you or that you read about, suddenly, you came to life. Suddenly, you believed it. You believed that Jesus was Lord. You believed he died for your sins. You wanted to follow him. You came to life. You were born again. You were born again. Now, maybe you're thinking, oh, I've not thought about this before. I'm not really sure I have been born again. Well, can I say to you, if you're trusting and following Jesus, that has happened to you. But can I also say, if that hasn't, well, what do you need to do? How does it happen? How is someone born again? Well, we need to listen to God's word. We need to pay attention to the message of the Bible and read it carefully and listen carefully and find out about it, because only God's word gives new life and makes someone to be born again. Only God's word gives us new life. So that's the first thing that's great about God's word. It gave us life. But there's more that makes it wonderful. Here's the next thing. It is true forever. It is true forever. If God says something, it is definitely true. And if God promises something, it will definitely happen. God's word lasts forever. And that is very different from what we're like and what people are like. Even people who seem really powerful. See what Peter says. He says, all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. See what Peter says? Peter says that people, even powerful people, they're like grass. They're like grass. I have to say, I really love this time of the year. I think it's my favourite time of the year, this sort of springtime, because everything is growing so fast, and it's all so kind of lush, and there's so much life out there, isn't there? It's fantastic. So I've got some, I just went out to the churchyard earlier. I don't do this often, but I did this today, and I picked some grass. Look, there's some wild grass, and there are some flowers there, and it's just gorgeous, isn't it? There's just so much life out there, just growing everywhere. But as wonderful, as beautiful as that is, you can see the glory of that, can't you? If we come back in, what, 3 or 4 weeks' time, this will be gone, won't it? It'll be just it'll have withered. It'll have kind of just withered in the sun, and it'll be gone. The glory will have just passed away. The grass is fantastic, but it just comes and it goes. It soon passes. Its glory quickly fades. And Peter's saying, do you know what? People are like that. Even impressive people. And we, God's people, we need to remember that. We need to remember that. People who seem so impressive and seem to be in charge, they don't last. Peter, when he wrote these words, he actually took those words from the Old Testament, from Isaiah. Isaiah wrote to God's people when they were in a bad way. They'd been conquered by an enemy army, by the Babylonians. So here's the Babylonian army, here are the soldiers, and they're leading God's people away from their city of Jerusalem. You can see it's set it on fire. And Isaiah spoke to God's people who'd been conquered like that, and he promised that God would one day rescue them. God had not forgotten them. He would rescue them. The future would be okay. But just imagine to God's people at that time. The Babylonians seem very impressive, don't they? Their soldiers are so big and strong, and they've led them away, and they've burnt their city, and they've gone to live in a foreign land. It must have seemed very hard. And when they went to Babylon, Babylon was amazing. Here's what someone reckons that Babylon looked like. It's this massive, impressive city with a very famous gate that's been reconstructed and somewhere. And then it had its famous hanging gardens. I think they're up there, top right. And I mean, Babylon was the most amazing place. It just looked like the Babylonians were in charge. But do you know what? Babylon didn't last for long. The next great power came along and they were conquered. And God did bring his people home. He did bring his people home. And do you want to see Babylon today? You can go to Iraq. Oh, there it is. There's Babylon. Just ruins. That great city, just ruins. Like grass, the glory soon passes away. When Peter wrote his letter, he wrote to, at the time, of the Roman Empire. Now, the Roman Empire was so powerful and so huge and so impressive. The Christians he was writing to must have felt very weak, very small. But what is left of the Roman Empire today? We can go and visit, can't you? You can go to Rome and see the ruins. They're very impressive, but they're just ruins. The might of the Roman Empire has long passed away. It's like grass. It had its glory, and then it passes away. Whereas what happened to those Christians that Peter was writing to who felt so weak? Their future was glorious. See how Peter described it earlier. He says, "Praise be to the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he's given us new birth," there it is again, "into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance," this is talking about heaven, "that can never perish, spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you." If you're following Jesus, your future with him won't crumble and it won't fade and it can't be taken away from you. Your future with him is glorious and definite because God's word is true forever. That's why we can trust God's promises as we try to keep going. And that leads us to our next song. We're going to sing again. The reason God's words are true forever is because God is there forever. He goes on forever. As our next song says, "Although all else will fade, you will be the same." So as the music begins, let's stand and we'll sing. So how are we going to keep going in the Christian life? Keep going until the end. Well, we seem to need to crave God's word. What's so great about God's word? It gave you life. It brought you to life in the first place. It is true forever. And one more thing, it also helps you to grow. That's why you need it. It helps you to grow. See what Peter says. He says, "Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good." So not only does God's word bring you to life in the first place, it also helps you to grow. It helps you to grow. So we're to crave God's word. And see the picture that Peter puts in our minds, like a newborn baby. Just like newborn babies crave milk. That's how much we should want God's word. Now, just think about that. So here's our baby here. So when babies want milk, what do they do? Do they think, well, maybe I'll have some milk, or, well, maybe I'll leave it? Do babies think, well, I think milk, oh, later. Other things to do. I'll have milk later. No, what do babies do when they want milk? Someone tell me, what do? They cry. And they cry and they scream, absolutely. They cry and cry and cry and cry until their face looks like a tomato. And they're so desperate for milk that they cry and cry and cry. They crave it. Why? Because they know that they need it. They know they're just wired that way. They know that's what they need. They desperately need milk to survive and to grow. And you know what? That should be your attitude to God's word. That should be your attitude to the Bible. To think, not just, oh, take it or leave it. Not just, oh, maybe I'll read it today. Not just, oh, later. But to think, I desperately need it. I desperately need God's word to survive as a Christian, to keep going. I'm not going to grow without it. And so that just makes us ask ourselves good questions, doesn't it? Is that our attitude to the Bible? Is that my attitude to the Bible? I wonder whether that needs to change. Maybe, do I need to change one of the kind of habits in my life to make sure I'm definitely getting God's word in my life each day? There are some things in my life that I never miss. Like, I never miss breakfast. I know some people do, but I can't function without breakfast. But do I think I can't function without God's word, without the Bible? Crave it like newborn babies crave milk. Crave God's word. We desperately need God's word if we're going to grow and keep going. How do we keep going? Crave the word of God. It does all those things for us. It helps us to grow. And one of the things it'll help us to grow in is loving one another. Loving one another. That's the other thing we've got to do if we're going to keep going. Look at verse 22. Peter says, "Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart, for you have been born again." So when God brings us to life through his word, when we're born again, one of the things he wants us to do is to love one another, to love our Christian family, and to love one another deeply. Do you see? Deeply from the heart. That word deeply has the idea of working really hard, making every effort. So that means we don't just say kind words to each other, we actually show kindness to each other. It means that if someone's in need, we don't just say, "Oh, hope that works out." We get in there and we help if we can. It means we need to give time to each other, doesn't it? If we're going to love one another, we need to know each other. We need to spend time together. We need to make an effort with people. And not just the people we like or the people we already know. I wonder whether one way that we could start to love one another more deeply is thinking, is there someone new I could get to know? Maybe even today, I could chat to someone I don't know so well. That's how we start to love one another, as we get to know one another. Love one another deeply. We won't survive without it. You can't keep going on your own. But if we're a family, there's some stuff that has to go. Sometimes, you know, sometimes you need a clear out. Do you enjoy having a clear out? So, I know I've just noticed we've got this box of pens at the back of church here. And a whole load of them don't work. And so it's quite nice having a clear out. So I've got my bin and I think, oh, I'll just go through these pens. Does that one work? No. Let's try another one. That's rubbish. Let's see another one. These are all completely hopeless. It's just great having a clear out. Oh, that's a good one. Hooray. And one more. Let's see. That's really scratchy. There you go. It's really nice having a clear out. Get rid of the rubbish that you don't need in your life. Well, Peter says, get rid of the rubbish that you don't need in your church. He says, rid yourself of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. He said, you've got to get rid of that stuff. You've got to get rid of that stuff. Now, some of those words need explaining, don't they? So let's have a think about them. So we've got our bin. What are we going to chuck in our bin? Well, first we've got malice. What's malice? Well, malice is, it's kind of unkind words. Malice is wanting bad stuff for other people. And Peter says, that's got no place in your church. You've got to get rid of it. You've got to chuck it out. Or next, there's deceit. What's deceit? It's lying to each other. Not being truthful with each other. Telling little fibs to cover over our mistakes. Just not being open and honest with one another. Peter says, in a family, a church family, it's got to go. Got to get rid of that. Or hypocrisy. That's sort of saying one thing but doing another. It's being two-faced, where someone's not quite sure, what kind of person are you today? And there's no place for that. There's no place for saying one thing but doing another. And then envy. Envy is, we know what envy is, don't we? Envy is wanting someone else's things, wanting someone else's looks, wanting someone else's life. Envy is, you know, if something's going well for someone else, not being happy for them, but being grumpy because it's not happening to me. That's envy. That's disastrous in a church family if we look at each other like that. It's got to go. And then finally, he says, slander of every kind. What does that mean? Spreading lies about somebody. Maybe passing on gossip. Sometimes we do that in subtle ways, or just mention it as a, I need to pray for that person who sort of mentioned some bit of gossip. Or speaking badly of anyone, that can ruin a church. Slander, it has got to go. There's no place for any of those things if we're going to love one another and keep each other going in the Christian life. So if any of those things are going on in our hearts, in our lives, they've got to go. If we're going to keep going in the Christian life is hard. If we're going to keep going until that glorious future, we've got to be committed to loving one another. Now, it doesn't come naturally, loving each other like that. Do you know there's only one thing that will help us to do it? And you know what it is? It's the Word of God, isn't it? It's the Word of God that brought you to life. It's the Word of God that will help you to grow. As Peter says, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you've tasted that the Lord is good. If we crave the Word of God, we have the Word of God in our hearts and lives, it'll help us to grow and grow together and keep going all the way to our great future. Should we pray? Let's pray that God would help us. Father, thank you that you've promised us a glorious future. And thank you that your word is true forever, that we can trust you. But we pray that you'd help us to keep going now. Would you help us to trust your word and therefore help us to crave your word, to make sure that we're feeding on your word. And we pray that you'd help us to love one another, to help each other, to encourage each other, to get rid of the things that spoil our relationships, that we can spur one another on to keep going with your strength. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.